the children, young children were taught to paint. So they were taught, they were told to be creative, but at the same point in time, they were told that sky has to be blue, parrot has to be green, trees has to be brown and green, flowers have to be red. So at that time, he said that why do we need to limit the creativity of a child?
Welcome to the Learning Circle, the ultimate video podcast for educators and parents who want to unleash the full potential of children. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of learning with the help of thought leaders who will share their knowledge and stories with us. This is your host, Kavleen Kaur, and I'm excited to take you on this journey. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Today's topic of discussion with our guest speaker revolves around developing creativity and innovation in students. We hope to share actionable takeaways that you can implement in your own practice. Our guest today is Dr. Vasudha Neelmani, an illustrious educationist with over 30 years of experience spanning multiple domains in education. She's a double master's in psychology and education and a special educator by profession. Also an auditor in schools with British curriculum. In addition to this, she completed PCC level master's course to be a life and leadership coach with ICF USA, and she's also a certified CCSP career coach. Dr. Vasudha is a trainer with Cambridge to implement Cambridge pedagogy and curriculum in new schools. She conducts sessions on mental and emotional well-being, meditation and workshops on gratitude for all age groups. She is a regular blogger in the fields of education, technology, spirituality, life skills, and many other topics. She runs her own website, positivity101.com. Ma'am, it's an honor to have you on the Learning Circle session.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Ma'am, you play multiple roles, including that of an author, blogger, educationist, parent, and so on. In addition to that, you are also a lifelong learner. So I'm very curious about the role of creativity in helping you excel at these diverse roles and also simultaneously work towards your learning goals. So the role of creativity.
Yes, so creativity is one of the timeless seas or 21st century skills, and we cannot do away with this concept of creativity in education. I still remember that when I was doing a teacher's training course more than 32 years ago, so we were sent to a program of Bal Bhavan, wherein at that time we were taught how to be creative. So I still remember the lecturer sharing with a lecturer sharing an incident with us, wherein the children, young children were taught to paint. So they were taught, they were told to be creative, but at the same point in time, they were told that sky has to be blue, parrot has to be green, trees has to be brown and green, flowers have to be red. So at that time, he said that why do we need to limit the creativity of a child? And that sentence, that not to limit the creativity of the child, stayed on with me, and it is still with me. So whenever we are asking our children to unleash their creativity, so maybe their sky can be green, or their parrot can be blue, for all we know. So we cannot and they, why to ask them to color in a limited space. The other incident was, the other thing was that while attending a Stephen Covey's workshop, wherein, the budding authors and budding writers, the or poets, the children, who are writing. So English teachers used to focus a lot on grammatical errors and spelling errors, again, limiting the creativity of the child. We have to, of course, that can be taken care of. That is very important that students should have correct grammar, correct sentence structure, correct spellings. But at the same point in time, we need to appreciate what he has written. What is his thought process? Maybe it's a story, maybe it's a poem, maybe it's a prose. So when we are actually pointing out their mistakes of spellings, of grammar, of sentence structure, when we have asked them to write a story or a creative piece. And having said that, I'm not saying that correcting them is not important, but it should not be the first reaction. As teachers, we need to, correct our students. We need to take care of certain things, but we cannot limit their creativity. Now, talking about me, you have asked me how do I manage or how do I do certain things. I think I had a very, very supportive set of parents, I would say. And my father always used to encourage me to do a lot of things, you know. I still remember. He used to tell me always that whatever you are doing, give your 100% to that. If you want to be a homemaker, put your heart and soul to that. And there is nothing that if you are liking something, what you are doing. So there is nothing called that you get tired or you get exerted. So at this point in time also, I work 17 to 18 hours a day, but I don't feel tired because working with children or writing or conducting the sessions, that's the passion. So when you are passionate towards a certain thing, so there is no concept of work-life balance, and you can be creative. You have to be creative. So there is a line which says that there is a famous quote that if I cannot learn the way you teach, you have to teach me the way I learn. So I think being a special educator, that was an added advantage because I used to come up with new pedagogies, new innovations to teach my children that, okay, if this particular child has not learned through this concept or a visual learning is not happening, let me involve him to a kinesthetic learning, or let me give him a hands-on experience, or let him, you know, if he's not able to write or if he's not able to express, let him draw and explain it to me what he had. So these are certain things, you know, and it is now, I think with me, it is a part of my living that, and it is the part of our school pedagogy also, that creativity is very, very important.
Right. Ma'am, you shared right in the beginning a wonderful point that creativity is a timeless skill. We are saying that it is necessary for 21st century, but like you said, 32 years ago also, it was being talked about, and I think multiple decades also it would be necessary. And you also shared that creativity can be depicted or learned in arts. It can be learned in English writing, and also, you know, as a homemaker, as an educationist also, you have been practicing creativity and also using multiple pedagogy to teach to the children at your school. So that is a wonderful point. You have already touched upon certain aspects where creativity is used. I would request you to share more on what are these, you know, basket of skills where creativity is demonstrated or where creativity can be used, because it is not very easy to define these skills, especially for children. And another thing that I would ask you is that you talked about not limiting the children's creativity, because I think rather than nurturing their creativity, we have to somehow suppress our desire to put our thoughts into their mind, because they are creative anyways. We have to not suppress them. So these two points, if you can share, what is the basket of these skills and, you know, how to nurture them.
See, creativity is not just limited to the education or academic progress. Creativity is something that you see in everyday life, in everyday situation. Now, if you are setting up your house, for example, or if I ask students to set up their classrooms in the way they want to, that is an example of creativity. So we need creativity and we needed that creativity at every point in life, in every phase of life, I would say, in every skill of life. So a very simple thing, you know, when we cook food and we serve food, the way we garnish the food or the way we decorate the food items, that's also creativity.
Right.
A student, you know, keeping his notebook in a particular manner or covering it and you know doing something that is also a creativity. Now writing how they are, of course, when we are talking about there is a narrative writing skills are there. There of course in different writing skills that genre is there. And for not limiting creativity, one has to have a growth mindset. So now what happens is that all of us who are teachers, who are educators, and who have been in the experience of having 30, 35 years. So, unfortunately, what happens is we think that we know everything. And we think the way we have been teaching or the way we have been doing things, that is the way. So, we are somewhere stuck in our thought process, and that is the biggest hindrance to creativity.
Right.
So, our children, whether now it's called Alpha Generation, then it was Gen Z, they are born with high order thinking skills. They are born with metacognitive skills. Now, the challenge is that we as educators, we are not born with that. Our skills or our thought process is limited. So we have to learn to do a lot of, I would say, learning, unlearning, relearning, wherein we are able to work with our children and we are able to come up to their level. So now, I have this favorite quote by Alvin Toffler, who says that, you know, illiterate of 21st century are not those who cannot read or write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. And when we are talking about this, when we are talking about the concept of learning, unlearning, relearning, again, that is also a part of creativity because it is part of creative thinking, how you can do a certain aspect. Now, when we give our students a lot of opportunities. We have a tie-up with a design thinking program called Startup U. So that is what? That is nothing that our students from grade 6 or grade 7 onwards, they are working on certain aspects of design thinking. They are working on certain entrepreneurship skill set. And again, that is a part of creative thinking also. That is also a creativity. So, and I still remember I don't remember who wrote that article. There was a very, very famous article where we said that sometimes the so-called education system, which is completely, completely content-centric, that limits the creativity of the child. So that is somewhere we need to focus on.
Right. So as you said, there is a need to strike a balance between doing the regular curriculum, which is there, while also nurturing the creativity of the students.
No, I am not saying creativity has to be the part of your classroom teaching. So there is nothing to which says that you have to strike a balance. You are coming to a classroom. You are taking a mathematics class, and when you are taking a mathematics class and you want to teach them certain concepts of even an odd number, so you are dividing the class into the groups of 1, 3, 5, 7, 2, 4, 6, 8, and then you are introducing the concept that all the 1, 3, 5, 7 are odd number and 2, 4, 6, 8 are even numbers. When you are talking about introducing your nouns, adjectives, pronouns in a classroom, you are just asking asking them to see what's around in a classroom, describe your friends, name your friends. So very subtly and beautifully you are introducing. So it is found in our school, it is found in everyday teaching. So you don't need to strike a balance. It is part of the system. It is part of your curricula.
Right. So it is an integrated approach wherein you are doing your subjects, but the pedagogy is creative in approach. And to implement this pedagogy successfully, I think the educators have to have some professional development being done, some learnings being done to shift, like you said, that you know the children are have more higher order thinking than some of us educators. So a professional development of educators in creativity and similar higher order thinking skills is a necessity.
Yes, it is a necessity. See, you can have a lot of programs, you can run a lot of programs, but at the same point in time, the key is to implement.
Right.
We learn a lot of things, but we don't implement those things. So the key factor is implementation. And I feel that creativity is something which is innate, and then you know you can nurture it also. So you know the maybe the professionals or the teachers, you know, who are not creative. So I don't think that at this point in time, we need any teachers who are not creative. So they automatically they get obsolete. So creativity is something that has to be in all the individuals, in all the human beings, whether they are teachers, whether they are professionals, whether they are marketing professionals. Now, one example, if a marketing professional has to sell a product, so of course he needs to be creative in his approach. He needs to see what his competition is. So creativity is just not limited to a classroom. Creativity is just not limited to a school or university, but to the whole professional world and outside also, in every field you need it.
Yes, so we have very well established the need of creativity and the impact of creativity well beyond the school years, also in everyday life. And I think it is more so now because everything is changing at a rapid pace. Technology is changing, the new apps are coming. So one needs to be more creative in all aspects of one's life. Right. So thanks for sharing these valuable inputs, ma'am. You've talked about nurturing this, which is innate, and also nurturing, you know, further in an integrated manner, integrated with all subjects, English, maths, and so on. So once this pedagogy is in place, how do we actually assess these skills or enhancements of these skills? Is there some rubrics or matrices or methods on using which I understand that, you know, the demonstration is slightly subtle and it may be long term, but are there any more you know, easy to see methods with which you can see a progress?
Yes. See, when we are talking about the skills like oratory skills, or you know, you are doing a role play for that matter, or in mathematics you are presenting you're doing a presentation or something, in sciences you're doing an experiment or something. So of course there are rubrics in place, and every topic has a subject specific rubric. And when we talk about, so creativity is not a skill to be assessed, but at the same point in time, the best way is if a teacher is using creativity in a classroom, and her assessments, when she's doing assessments to check, assessment is for learning. So if they are using, so of course there are a combination of summative assessments, formative assessments. So the best thing about Cambridge pedagogy is that we assess to check the learning. We don't assess to judge a child. And the way the Cambridge assessment papers or the question papers or the tasks are given, they are very, very creative in that manner. So, for example, if we need to ask about a French Revolution to a child of grade 9, so we are not going to tell them that, okay, explain what is a French Revolution. There might be three or four illustrations given, and the child will be asked that which of these four illustrations best describe French Revolution, justify your answer. So the way the children are taught from the primary level or pre-primary level, and then they move on further, so it is inbuilt in them. It is, you know, in sync with them. And of course, when we are talking about the teachers, we do a lot of, there are PDQ professional development programs also. There are a lot of in-house learning programs, training programs that we do. So the teachers or the students, they are in sync. There is a lot of cross-curricular linkages. There are a lot of, you know, thematic based learning happening in the school. So for example, we have a bridge course that we run in our school, wherein we are giving a sneak peek and preview to our new students what is Cambridge pedagogy all about. So when we are doing that, it is all about the creative approach. So when there is a culmination of the complete bridge course, so the students, what students' performances are or what students are showcasing themselves, it is an example of doing that. So this is, I'm talking about a 3 to 4 week program. But now imagine if a child is learning these skills on day-to-day basis for 14 years, from early years to A-levels, or from pre-primary to grade 12. So they are nurtured and brought up in this manner that it is one of the skills that they have inherited, or they have inculcated in themselves, imbibed in themselves.
Right. So you've talked about that, since if they do it for a extended period of time, it is imbibed and it is in, you know, it gets deeper into their psyche. So it becomes part of their arsenal. So that is good. And, you know, ma'am, what I also would like to thank you is that rather than just sharing your points, you are sharing wonderful examples of practices which are being implemented at your school. And these are nuggets which other educators can also pick up and implement, right? Because I also always thought that, you know, we have to somehow, like I said, strike a balance. But yes, there are, you know, there is another approach wherein it can be inbuilt into all the existing subjects. And also, you know, it can be scaffolded over a period of time. So thanks for sharing that, ma'am. And so these are the pedagogy, these are the practices that you are implementing in your school, and it's also part of the Cambridge curriculum. But do you think something at a more higher level, at a systemic level, policy level also, we need some more focus on creativity, or do you already see that happening with the NEP program?
See, when we talk about different boards, you know, of course they are trying. The national board is trying. The CBSE is trying. The national education policy or NCF framework, what they are doing. So of course that is in place. But having said that, I mentioned one word called implementation. So if it is not implemented, so now imagine we are not talking about just the 30% of the urban schools. We are talking about the rest 70% of the rural area school also, where, you know, what is creativity? They don't know the sea of it also. Right. The access to education is the challenge right now, right? So the access to education, if their prime objective is that every child should have access to education, so creativity is a far-flung thing now, right, over there. Yeah. So when the accessibility to education, this challenge is met, this challenge, we overcome this challenge, then we will come to the second step of creativity. So when you are talking about masses and the higher level, of course we need to work a lot. But yes, the private sector schools, the urban schools, whether it is a CBSE school, whether it is a Cambridge school, they all are trying their best to have these 21st century skills in place. So whether it is collaboration, whether it is cooperation, whether it is communication, whether it is creative thinking, critical thinking, fixed person, so everybody is trying. But what about those 70%, the masses, you know, the rural areas? So wahan pe to they have around 60 to 65 in the classroom. They are not coming to the classes. They are not. So there, of course, it is a challenge.
Yes, there is a challenge and a lot needs to be done there, right from professional development of educators to getting the students to be able to access the basic numeracy and literacy classes. Education itself is a challenge. So I think a lot needs to be done there and hopefully we should be able to see some gains there as well.
Absolutely.
Ma'am, moving on to the next question, you mentioned in the beginning that you had very supportive parents and they nurtured your creativity. So what advice would you have for parents who want to have a more involved role in their child's learning, especially with respect to creativity? And otherwise,
see, I write some, you know, that I write. So I have a quote that I have written. So I say that don't live your dreams through your children, right? Let the children dream. Maybe their dream are bigger than yours. So, you know, if we cannot become a doctor, we say, oh, my child should become one. If I cannot, I couldn't be a dancer, I would say, oh, my child should be a dancer. Why? It's their own journey. So Rabindranath Tagore has also said that treat your children as adults and individual. They have their own individuality. They have their own identity. So when we are with our children and we are teaching them that, we are giving them the choices and chances and preparing them for the challenges, so they will be able to face the world. So see, with all due respect to our culture, we take care of children. Culturally, we are very, very sound as a nation. But I think the mothers, and I sometimes include myself also, we need to make our children independent. We have to stop mollycoddling them all the time that eat food from my hand or, you know, what are you doing? We don't have to nag all the time, you know. So children, when they are independent, they are responsible, they understand their responsibility, and then they start, when you give the right kind of freedom with responsibility, you will not face any problem with your children between choosing right or wrong.
Yes, that's the quote you shared was very wonderful, ma'am, and these nuggets of guidance are also wonderful. I mentioned the website in the initial introduction. So that is the place where the parents can visit to read your guidance, or is there?
Yes. That's my website, positivity101.com. And what I do is, there are certain students that's just my passion. So there are certain students who are a little confused what to do after grade 10, what to do after grade 12. So they are little. So I just help them. So that's a kind of a part-time, my part-time passionate thing what I do. And of course, there's a book I have authored called Gratitude, the Purpose of Journey, because I strongly feel that if you are grateful for the things that you have, you will have abundance of things that you want. So, and it starts from a very, very micro level things, paying gratitude to your parents, to your teachers, to your school, to your friends, and slowly it goes to the macro level where where we are talking about paying gratitude for fresh air, for water, for resources, and in the end, it talks about self-learning. So paying gratitude to yourself, you have to love yourself also before you know. Yourself, then only if you're happy within yourself, then only you will be able to spread that happiness outside.
Oh, that's a power empowering thought, that you first have to love yourself, of course. Yes. So I would encourage all parents and also students to read the book and also visit the website that ma'am has created. Moving on to the next question. Can you describe a success story of a student or a group of students who demonstrated exceptional creativity and innovation under your guidance?
So there have been many, but you know, so one of my students who was very, very bright, and he got admission in Georgia Tech University. He did his biomedical engineering. He was a great musician. He was an artist, and he did his biomedical engineering, and he was one of the India toppers across four subjects at that time. And I categorically remembered that he had got a one semester wave off session from his university, but he preferred dividing his time slot in such a manner that he completed his four-year program in six, but he was supporting his sister for her education. She wanted to be a fashion designer, and she wanted to do something related to the same course in Paris. So the other student of mine, she did from US. She did her undergrad program in medical with majors in music. So there are lots and lots of students. So if you are guiding them well, they do the things pretty well.
And ma'am, you are setting a wonderful example of being a, what I should say, multitasker, although that is not a word I prefer, but having multiple aspects, multiple interests, and being able to maintain all of them, excel in all of them simultaneously.
I always say that one should practice what one preaches.
Right.
So I have a daughter who's in grade 10. So she's academically very sound. She is an artist. She's a musician. She's a boxer. She's a horse rider. She's a good athlete. So it is, you know, when you give that freedom to your child, and I am in Udaipur, she's studying in Shivnada, Gurgaon. So we are we don't meet, but at the same point, and we meet. I mean, we don't stay together, but we meet as and when. Having said that, she has been an independent learner since her childhood. I have from her very, very young age, I didn't have to teach her, or she never sat with me to complete the homework. The only thing now, it has only thing when she was in grade, from grade 5 to grade 7, only thing we used to do was that when she used to have her exam, I used to have my Zoom on, and she used to have her Zoom on when we were not together, and she used to just study, and she wanted to see me being there with her all the time. That's it. So you have to make your children responsible, and they become independent themselves.
Right. So that's a wonderful, that's a very empowering thought. And, you know, as a parent, you know, that is something that I would also like to imbibe. Okay. So thanks for sharing that, ma'am. Just a couple of questions, quick questions to know you better as a person, and also gain some more insights. So if which book or which author you would recommend to your students, specifically for developing creativity, or in general gratitude or other such skills? So of course there is your book that I have recommended, but other than that also?
See, I read Rhonda Byrne a lot, of course, and I don't want students, so they should have they should read what they want to read. I just want students to be good readers. whatever fiction, non-fiction they want to read. So I just read Tuesdays with Maury. That is the second largest gifted book in the world. So that's one book. And I always tell the children to read the biographies of learned
yes.
people. So maybe biography. So you have you learn a lot from there, and they can be your role models. How they their challenges. So there was a there's a biography of Martin Luther King. There is a biography of Nelson Mandela. Of course, you know, my experiments with truth is my favorite one. We have been, you know, we grew up reading that. So that is a very empowering book. So when you read the biographies of certain eminent personalities, so you learn. And if it is about creativity, Ken Robinson's books are more, but that's for more for the educators and teachers rather than students.
Right. Thanks for sharing that, ma'am. And what is one habit or routine that has helped you to be more productive and successful in your work? So you shared that giving 100% to every task is one thing that you have already shared. So apart from that, what has helped you do these multiple roles?
See, I'm an early riser. So I get up very early in the morning, and my morning hours, those 2 hours are mine where I maybe, you know, I meditate, I do my yoga, or I practice silence. So that gives me the strength, or that gives me the energy for the whole day. And of course, I take however tired I am, I take 1 hour for myself to do the things that I like to do. So whatever it is, it depends on my mood. It may be, you know, maybe listening to a music at that particular time, or, you know, just writing some piece, or just going out and, you know, doing some retail therapy, or just going for a walk. So it depends. But, you know, 1 hour, so 2 hours in the morning, 2 to 3 hours are my hours in the morning, and 1 hour in the evening where so you have to. I usually, you know, tell mostly all the female teachers also, or all the women folks also, that take 1 hour out for yourself. Because you are you wear so many hats, so you forget to take that 1 hour for yourself, and then you crib and just say that, you know, we don't get time for ourselves. We need to take time out for ourselves.
Yeah, that's a very
so my 2 hours. 3 hours in the morning and 1 hour in the evening. So 2 hours in the three, 2 to 3 hours in the morning is my time, and so there I gain the strength for the complete day.
That's a very good guiding point. And as you said that, you know, we play so many roles and we forget ourselves, and then we are not able to bring our best to anything that we do. So thanks for sharing.
See, basically, you can give somebody what you have. So if you are not peaceful within, if you are not happy within, so whatever state of mind you are in, you're going to pass on that to your immediate family members, at your workplace, at everything. So you need to be happy and calmer, then only you can
absolutely
give the same.
Absolutely. And you exude that aura of being at peace and, you know, being able to share all these deep insights because you are calm. And I think we also, all of us need to learn that, especially the females who are doing these multiple multitasking, so to say. Right. So
thank you
so much, ma'am. Thank you for sharing your wonderful insights. I hope I have been
thank
able
you.
To do justice to your time. And
sure. No, not a problem at all. Thank you so much,
ma'am. Thank you. Thank you all for listening to this session. I hope our discussion has been valuable for you with insights and takeaways which you can implement at your end. In case you have any queries for Dr. Vasudha, please share with us. And do subscribe to our channel, The Learning Circle.